My name is Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today, you will hear reports from Jill Robbins and John Russell. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. He also joins me to talk about AI developments of 2022. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Jill Robbins.
Chinese health officials are pushing a campaign to get older citizens vaccinated against COVID-19 to reduce infections and hospitalizations. But many people have concerns about vaccine side effects and are refusing to get them. The country's efforts to get people vaccinated include sending health workers door to door and paying citizens 60 years and older to get the vaccine. But many people near or above retirement age are still resistant to getting a shot. China's National Health Commission recently said more than 90% of the country's population have been vaccinated. But only about 2/3 of individuals over age 80 have received a vaccine. Government records suggest the country has more than 191 million people over the age of 65. Li Liansheng is a 64-year-old man who told the Associated Press he had been vaccinated before he caught COVID-19. But he has several friends who are refusing to get vaccinated because they have heard stories about the shots causing side effects. Li said a 55-year-old friend suffered fevers and blood clots after being vaccinated. He said, while it is not known whether the shot was to blame, his friend is unwilling to get vaccinated again. When people hear about such incidents, they may not be willing to take the vaccines, Li said. He added that his experience with COVID-19 was not that serious and said the sickness felt like a normal cold. Li spoke to the AP while exercising outdoors in Beijing. He noted that he is considering getting a second shot, known as a booster, because of the publicity campaign. As long as we know the vaccine won't cause big side effects, we should take it, he said. China has joined other countries in treating COVID-19 cases instead of depending on widespread restrictions to block infections. The country has dropped or eased rules on testing, quarantines, and movements of people. But that change has resulted in a flood of sick patients going to the hospital. The National Health Commission announced a campaign on November 29th to raise the vaccination rate among Chinese of retirement age. Health experts say that is an important step as the country seeks to reduce cases of infection to avoid a healthcare crisis. China kept its case numbers low for 2 years with a zero COVID policy that isolated cities and kept millions of people in their homes. But now it is facing infection increases that other countries have already experienced. The government has recorded only 6 COVID-19 deaths this month, bringing the country's official total to 5,241. But some experts have questioned whether the official numbers are correct. Health experts have estimated 1 to 2 million COVID-19 deaths in China through the end of 2023. In some neighborhoods in Beijing, officials are offering people over age 60 up to $70 to accept the vaccines. but that is not enough to persuade many to get vaccinated. Some individuals resist getting the shots because they have diabetes, heart problems, and other health conditions. This is the case even after experts have advised that it is even more urgent for people with such conditions to get vaccinated. I'm Jill Robbins.
An Iranian player taking part in an international chess competition in Kazakhstan is not wearing a hijab for the second day, Reuters reports. At the FIDE World Rapid and Blitz Chess Championships in Almaty, Kazakhstan, a Reuters reporter said Sarah Khadim was competing without a head covering. That act is a violation of Iran's laws governing what clothes females should wear. Iranians have been demonstrating against the country's leadership since mid-September. The demonstrations started after 22-year-old Iranian Kurdish woman Mahsa Amini died while being detained by morality police who seized her for inappropriate attire. That means she was not wearing legally required or permitted clothing. Laws concerning hijab wearing have become an important part of the protests. Several sportswomen competing overseas have appeared in public without hijabs. Khadim was born in 1997. She is also known as Sarasadat Khadim al-Sharia. She is ranked number 804 in the world, the International Chess Federation website says. The website for the December 25th to December 30th event listed her as taking part in both the Rapid and Blitz competitions. Iranian news services Khabar Varzeshi and Itemad reported earlier this week that Khadim had competed in the event in Almaty without a hijab. I'm John Russell.
Throughout the past year, we've followed some interesting new inventions in the field of artificial intelligence, AI. Here is a look back at five notable AI developments in 2022. Facebook's parent Meta said it had built a technology tool designed to directly translate spoken speech from one language to another. The AI-powered tool was built to translate between English and the Hokkien language. The company said the project required unusual development methods. This is because Hokkien is mainly a spoken language and does not have a widely used written form. Meta said it trained its AI models on written text examples from Mandarin Chinese, which is similar to Hokkien. In addition, developers used an encoding tool designed to compare spoken Hokkien to similar English text. The team also worked closely with Hokkien speakers to ensure correct results. Meta said it aims to use the same methods used for Hokkien to create speech-to-speech translation systems for many more languages in the future. Researchers announced a new AI method to identify Parkinson's disease, a neurological disease that harms the brain. The system works by measuring a person's breathing patterns during sleep. A study describing the method said it can also measure the severity of disease and record its progression. The researchers noted that early signs of Parkinson's disease are not easy to discover. Many signs or symptoms only appear years after the disease sets in. But the team said its experiments showed that with just one night of sleep, the AI system was able to correctly identify Parkinson's up to 86% of the time. With 12 nights of data, the rate went up to 95%. Researchers announced they had created a technology tool that uses pig sounds to interpret different emotions. The tool is based on thousands of recordings collected from more than 400 pigs throughout their lives. The scientists developed an AI-driven algorithm to identify a series of emotions the animals could be experiencing. The study centered on more than 7,000 audio recordings of pigs in different situations. By training the algorithm to recognize the sounds in both good and bad situations, the team said the tool was able to identify the correct emotion 92% of the time. Researchers said the tool is expected to lead to further systems farmers can use to improve the productivity and well-being of their animals. Developers said they had created a technology tool that can identify and recreate different smells. The scientists built on past research to produce a brain-like technology model to create a principal odor map to identify molecules related to smells. The team said such a system can be used across many different fields, including the healthcare, food, and fragrance industries. The researchers reported that the tool can be used to help fight one of the world's biggest health problems, diseases spread through insects. They said the system can measure how effective a molecule is at keeping mosquitoes away from humans. Researchers said they developed an AI system to help fill in missing words in ancient writings. The tool, called Ithaca, is designed to help historians repair the writings and identify when and where they were written. Researchers led by Alphabet's AI company DeepMind created the tool. They said the system is the first deep neural network to identify missing text in damaged writings or inscriptions. The team said that when historians work on their own, the success rate for repairing damaged inscriptions is about 25%. But when humans teamed up with Ithaca to assist in their work, the success rate jumped to 72%. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about this week's Technology Report. Hi, Brian. Welcome back.
Thank you, Ashley. Nice to be here.
In today's report, you looked back at some interesting developments in the field of artificial intelligence. Of the stories you included, which one turned out to be the most popular with VOA Learning English users?
Well, Ashley, I would have to say the story about the technology tool developed by Facebook's parent Meta got the most attention on our website. It makes sense, too, because the tool is designed to translate spoken speech from one language to another. And users of our website are generally very interested in language-related subjects.
What is so different about Meta's new translation tool compared to other systems that are already out there?
The company says its new system is designed to reduce delays in the translation process when two people are speaking one-on-one. Meta noted that it successfully trained the tool on a version or dialect of Chinese that is mainly spoken, not written. So by using this new AI method, the developers said they were able to create a tool that permits more natural speech to take place between people speaking different languages in real time.
Do you think the development of Meta's system will lead to even more progress in other translation systems?
Yes, I believe we can expect this. The company did say it was opening up its translation models and research results to the world development community so that other researchers can build on the latest work. And Meta said it plans to expand its methods to add many more languages to the tool in the future.
Thanks again, Brian, for joining me on the program and for sharing your thoughts today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The Civil War began in 1861 as a struggle over the right of states to leave the Union. President Abraham Lincoln firmly believed that a state did not have that right, and he declared war on the southern states that tried to leave. Lincoln had only one reason to fight, to save the Union. In time, however, there was another reason to fight, to free the black people held as slaves in the South. Today, Kay Gallant and Harry Monroe continue the story of how President Lincoln dealt with this issue.
Lincoln had tried to keep the issue of slavery out of the war. He feared it would weaken the Northern war effort. Many men throughout the North would fight to save the Union. They would not fight to free the slaves. Lincoln also needed the support of the four slave states that had not left the Union: Delaware, Kentucky, Maryland, and Missouri. He could not be sure of their support if he declared that the purpose of the war was to free the slaves. Lincoln was able to follow this policy at first, but the war to save the Union was going badly. The North had not won a decisive victory in Virginia, the heart of the Confederacy. To guarantee continued support for the war, Lincoln was forced to recognize that the issue of slavery was, in fact, a major issue. And on September 22, 1862, he announced a new policy on slavery in the rebel southern states. His announcement became known as the Emancipation Proclamation.
American newspapers printed the proclamation. This is what it said: "I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy, do hereby declare that on the first day of January, 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state then in rebellion against the United States shall then become and be forever free. The government of the United States, including the military and naval forces, will recognize and protect the freedom of such persons, and will interfere in no way with any efforts they may make for their actual freedom. For political reasons, the proclamation did not free slaves in the states that supported the Union, nor did it free slaves in the areas around Norfolk, Virginia, and New Orleans, Louisiana.
Most anti-slavery leaders praised the Emancipation Proclamation. They had waited a long time for such a document. But some did not like it. They said it did not go far enough. It did not free all of the slaves in the United States, only those held by the rebels. Lincoln answered that the Emancipation Proclamation was a military measure. He said he made it under his wartime powers as commander-in-chief. As such, it was legal only in enemy territory. Lincoln agreed that all slaves should be freed. It was his personal opinion, but he did not believe that the Constitution gave him the power to free all the slaves. He hoped that could be done slowly during peacetime.
Lincoln's new policy on slavery was welcomed warmly by the people of Europe. It won special praise in Britain. The British people were deeply concerned about the Civil War in America. The United States Navy had blocked Southern exports of cotton. The British textile industry, which depended on this cotton, was almost dead. Factories were closed. Hundreds of thousands of people were out of work. The British government watched and worried as the war continued month after month. Finally, late in the summer of 1862, British leaders said the time had come for them to intervene. They would try to help settle the American dispute. Britain would propose a peace agreement based on Northern recognition of Southern rights. If the North rejected the agreement, Britain would recognize the Confederacy.
Then came the news that President Lincoln was freeing the slaves of the South. Suddenly, the Civil War was a different war. No longer was it a struggle over Southern rights. Now it was a struggle for human freedom. The British people strongly opposed slavery. When they heard that the slaves would be freed, they gave their support immediately to President Lincoln and the North. Britain's peace proposals were never offered. The Emancipation Proclamation had cost the South the recognition of Britain and France.
The South was furious over the proclamation. Southern newspapers attacked Lincoln. They accused him of trying to create a slave rebellion in states he could not occupy with troops. They also said the proclamation was an invitation for Negroes to murder whites. The Confederate Congress debated several resolutions to fight Lincoln's proclamation. One resolution would make slaves of all Negro soldiers captured from the Union Army. Another called for the execution of white officers who led black troops. Some Southern lawmakers even proposed the death sentence for anyone who spoke against slavery.
In the North, most people cheered the new policy on slaves. Some, however, opposed it. They said the policy would cause the slave states of the Union to secede. Those states would join the Confederacy. Or, they said, it would cause freed slaves to move north and take away jobs from whites. There also was another reason. 1862 was a congressional election year. The Democratic Party was the opposition party at that time. Party leaders believed their candidates would have a better chance of winning if they opposed the policy. Democrats said the policy was proof that anti-slavery extremists were in control of the government.
As we said, Abraham Lincoln announced the Emancipation Proclamation on September 22, 1862. But Lincoln said he would not sign the proclamation until the first day of 1863. That gave the Southern states 100 days to end their rebellion or face the destruction of slavery.
Some people thought Lincoln would withdraw the proclamation at the last minute. They did not believe he would sign a measure that was so extreme. They said the new policy would only make the South fight harder, and as a result, the Civil War would last longer. Others charged that the proclamation was illegal. They said the Constitution did not give the President the power to violate the property rights of citizens.
Lincoln answered the charges. He said, "I think the Constitution gives the Commander-in-Chief special powers under the laws of war. The most that can be said, if so much, is that slaves are property. Is there any question that, by the laws of war, property, both of enemies and friends, may be taken when needed?"
Just before the first of the year, a congressman asked the president if he still planned to sign the Emancipation Proclamation.
"My mind is made up," Lincoln answered. "It must be done. I am driven to it. There is no other way out of our troubles. But although my duty is clear, it is in some way painful. I hope that the people will understand that I act not in anger, but in expectation of a greater good."
The morning of New Year's Day was a busy time for Lincoln. It was a tradition to open the White House on that day, so the president could wish visitors a Happy New Year. After the last visitor had gone, Lincoln went to his office. He started to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Then he stopped. He said,
"I never, in all my life, felt more sure that I was doing right than I do in signing this paper. But I have been shaking hands all day until my arm is tired. When people examine this document, they will say, 'He was not sure about that.' But anyway, it is going to be done."
With those words, he wrote his name at the bottom of the paper. He had issued one of the greatest documents in American history.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.